Good morning. It may be obvious to most of you that I am not Don Fleischman. And though your welcome and introduction time comes in the middle of the service, and though my name is on the back of the bulletin, I will tell you that I am Stacy Maurice Wheeler. I serve the Lakeview Moravian Church, just a few blocks away from here by Schenck School. I am a pastor that is serving in a church that is part of our Seeds of Peace ecumenical group of 8 churches. And this is our second annual pulpit exchange, or swap, if you want to call it. We do this belatedly in honor of the Week of Christian Unity that was January 18th through the 25th. But of course, as in life and in church, oftentimes form follows function. And because there are many annual meetings before and after the Week of Christian Unity, we do it today, and we celebrate nonetheless. You may notice that the collect was different today. Don did give me that latitude when he was giving me my tutorial here on Friday. It's been a while since I've served at your table and in your pulpit, and I needed a refresher course on Episcopalian. I did the same thing for Elisa Brandt, who was from St. Stephen's Lutheran, who came to my church, and I walked her through Moravianism in the pulpit and at the table. It's an interesting thing. We all get a little nervous with this pulpit exchange thing. Are we going to do it right? Are we going to offend anyone's tradition? Our intention, of course, is about love. We want us to talk about Christian unity. We want us to think about what it means to all be the body of Christ in our different traditions and with our different habits and rituals. And yet, it's difficult to bring that into someone else's home church, isn't it? If I were here as a Moravian, I would not be wearing this white robe. I would not be wearing it until I came to the table, at which point I would have put a hymn in the worship order so that I could go out and put on my sacramental garments. If I were in my church, I would be doing the announcements at the beginning of the service, perhaps. I may be doing our offering ritual differently. And you would notice the biggest difference in how I served at this table. It's worth the effort to learn how you do it. Because if I cannot appreciate, as a Christian leader, the ways of other traditions within the Christian body, how can I stand here and say that we should all learn about it? But I have to tell you, this week and this Sunday puts fear into the heart of all of your pastors. And just know that's my disclaimer. I'm glad to have Don working with me, who will nod and gesture subtly when I forget things in your order of worship. Don did give me, your Father Don did give me, the latitude to choose a new collect. That felt like a very freeing experience, so I did so. He offered me the latitude to choose a new invitation or to have that choice be up to me. He gave me the latitude to choose a new blessing. Moravians are, in the world of Protestants, perhaps some of the most loosey-goosey. We differ from congregation to congregation. Our doctrine is about as ambiguous as you can get for some things, especially worship. But we believe that the mystery of Christ is in all of this service from start to beginning. That offers latitude as well. So I chose some things for you today from a book called A We Worship Book. It is an ecumenical tradition from Iona, an island in Scotland, where Anglicans and Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and United Church folks, Reformed Church people, and Catholics come together and worship regularly. They have woven into their worship the beauty of all of the traditions. And so our collect this morning is one that they use, asking us to open our eyes that we may recognize the work of the Holy Spirit among other people and under different forms. It seemed appropriate. Because if you look at the gospel this week, it also is about just that. Now, the gospel is what some scholars call, in this particular passage, the good news that is really bad news. Indeed, even Martin Luther called it that. The good news that is bad news that is good news. It's a both and. Jesus comes into the synagogue, and of course, people are thrilled that a local boy has come home. Someone who is doing great things, someone who is healing, someone who is wowing the crowds in other places. And he's shown up in the local temple to pay his respects and to lead. You might notice that at the beginning of this gospel lesson, they were amazed at his gracious words. But by the end, they're thoroughly offended and filled with rage. How did that happen in the scope of 6 verses? How could that possibly be? I ask you to think about how that can happen in our own homes and churches. How someone we love, someone we know, can say one word that can wound us so deeply, embarrass us so thoroughly, confront us so directly, that we go from being happy to see them to wishing the Thanksgiving dinner would be done and they would just exit. I think about that today as we celebrate our secular religion in this country, as well as we join to worship Sabbath in our majority sacred religion. Tonight, millions of people will watch football. Football that has been a tinderbox of conflict in the last several years in this country. Our gospel reading today, at the risk of offending everyone, is not unlike the situation where Jimmy Buffett dropped the mic after singing the national anthem, or Colin Kaepernick took a knee. Everyone was glad to see them initially, not so much afterwards. Indeed, the American culture has done nearly the equivalent of throwing Colin Kaepernick off a cliff. Now, before you go home and say, that Moravian pastor compared Colin Kaepernick to Jesus, let me give you permission to do so. Because this gospel is offensive to our sensibilities. It hits us wrong if you hear it correctly. Because what Jesus is saying as he sat down to preach after the reading of the scroll, which was perhaps the equivalent of taking a knee during the anthem, what Jesus is saying is, God's favor is coming through me. The understanding of God's favor is coming through me, and the words that I say today and how I interpret the prophet's words that we revere. And hear this. Our privilege, our station, our complacency with what we know and the traditions with which we are so comfortable may be the very thing that keep us from seeing who and what God's favor will really be bestowed upon. Luke writes his gospel, and it is all about seeing. It is all about seeing the people that we walk past on a regular basis. It is all about Jesus noticing the things that we take for granted or are complacent to. And Luke starts his gospel and early on gives us this. The crux of Jesus' teaching. See the ones that no one else sees. He says, when Elisha was around, there were many widows. There was severe famine. But who did he go to? The widow of Zarephath from Sidon. When Elijah was around, who was the one that was blessed and saved? But Naaman, the Syrian. They were offended because Jesus suggested that the prophets came, that the prophets spoke and offered God's favor to people outside of the churches, of course, the synagogues, outside of the faith, outside of the hometown, outside of the comfort zone. It's a much bigger picture. The Week of Christian Unity this year always holds a message for the world. And the theme this year is justice. As a clergy group, we decided not to use those pericopes and lessons for the day, but we chose the ones that the lectionary gave us. Luke's gospel is about justice when it makes us less than comfortable, when it pushes the edges of our tradition to actually enact and mean what we say they do and what we intend for them to do, to not let us get complacent. You know, in some respects, it's easy for me to say this, isn't it? I'll go back to my Moravian church. They will not know what I've said here. They would have perhaps rolled their eyes at the whole football thing. Oh, Stacy. I worry a bit about offering you the good news of the justice that comes from God to those that we would seem to find offensive, to those who we would intellectually want to embrace but not be able to with our lives. But I believe that we are called to see the truth of these passages, to see the truth of God's favor for all, to see the differences among us and understand the truth that comes collectively in Christian unity. Because too often, we don't recognize what we have within the body of Christ. Too often, we don't understand the blessing. Too often, we work separately and politely acknowledge each other, but do not do anything substantive together. We do not embrace the gifts that we are given, which is why I am blessed and why I am inspired and why I am challenged to be in the Seeds of Peace group. Because we have started, put our toe in the water of doing something bigger than ourselves, bigger than our own traditions. We're willing to step into places that make us uncomfortable, where we might embarrass ourselves up here as clergy because we drop a prayer or forget the right rubric for something. We go into each other's churches and we pack bags of food for children that we never see, but who we know need the food at home over the weekend. We gather up and collect toiletries. We make plans to help refugees. And we do it together, knowing that we are only beginning to tap the power of the Holy Spirit through the gospel if we embrace each other as the body of Christ. And that we will only see the needs of this world if we can first see each other and the Christ that lives within each tradition. This is the good news, the bad news, the good news of the challenge of the resurrected Christ that lives and reigns among us. Thanks be to God for this blessing. Amen.